Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you by Oak Tree Medical Center and King Group of Companies, including Cool Runnings Ice, Color Me Agency, and Retro Games 242.
Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we amplify the stories, insights, and expertise of the people shaping the future of health and wellness in the Bahamas and beyond. This week, in honor of Women's Health Month, we're shining a light on a topic that deserves far more attention, pelvic health. Joining us today is Dr. Devonya Bonamy Lee, a U.S. board-certified physical therapist, the only board-certified women's health clinical specialist in the Bahamas, and certified lymphedema therapist. She is also the founder of Viva Physiotherapy and Wellness, a practice devoted to restoring function, confidence, and quality of life for women at every stage. From bladder leaks and pelvic pain to postpartum recovery and lymphedema care, pelvic health physiotherapy is transforming lives, but many women still suffer in silence. In this episode, we'll break the stigma, explore the science, and empower women with the tools and knowledge to advocate for their own healing. Stay tuned. This is a conversation that every woman and the people who love them needs to hear. So let's start off. Well, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are happy to have you on. We were talking before we started recording, and I was reminding you, I remember about 2 years ago, you did a talk at Doctors Hospital along with Dr. Des Rosier, and that was the first time I had heard you speak about pelvic health physiotherapy, and I was like, that's such an interesting area of medicine that I did not know existed. And so it was very interesting to kind of hear that, and I'm like, boy, I wonder how many people are familiar with this area, you know, even women, because it seems so different and unique from just a lot of what you typically would hear out in the world. And so, you know, we wanted you to come on today to talk about that, as May is Women's Health Month. And so, you know, we figured let's find an interesting and different area of women's health to talk about, and bring on someone who can kind of shine a light on it from a very unique perspective. So I say all of that to say, you know, can you explain to our audience what pelvic health physiotherapy is? And why it's such an important but often overlooked aspect of women's healthcare.
Yes, of course. And just as a matter of fact, I gave a talk at Doctors Hospital through the Distinguished Lecture Series about a decade ago on lymphedema management, which was also one of those similar topics of, oh, I didn't know this existed, and no one talked about this anymore. And, you know, so I tend to get the same reactions based on those two topics too.
Awesome.
Pelvic health physiotherapy is a specialized area of physical therapy, and it's focused specifically on the treatment of disorders involving pelvic floor muscles. So that means bladder, bowel, and reproductive organs, or more carefully said, storage, evacuation, and sexual function. So it is critical in women's health care because these conditions, including incontinence, pelvic pain, and prolapse, are highly prevalent. But they go often untreated due to stigma, lack of access, or normalization of these symptoms. As highlighted in a Physical Therapy Journal article by Dumoulin in 2018, there is evidence that supports pelvic floor muscle training as the first line of treatment for urinary incontinence in women. And just to give this broader, just give us a little bit more of a broader base, men have a pelvic floor too.
May you say what now? I didn't remember that from your talk.
Well, yeah, that talk was specifically to women, but as a reminder, both men and women have a pelvic floor. So a lot of these issues, when we think about chronic pelvic pain, incontinence, constipation, also affect men.
That is true. Well, that's interesting. Okay, so I really did not know that. So it is sort of this niche area within physiotherapy, within women's health. What inspired you to specialize in this area? You know, particularly like you mentioned, you know, both the women's health physiotherapy and the lymphedema therapy are both kind of not necessarily high frequency topics or high frequency areas that people are familiar with hearing about or going to or even talking about. So what inspired you to get into these areas?
Great question, because when people hear physical therapy or physiotherapy, they always think athletes. They think injuries, they think meniscal tears and rehabilitation back to running. My career, right after I obtained the doctorate in physical therapy, My first job was at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, which I was almost surprised too. I said, oh, okay, PTs in cancer. And I knew I had a few colleagues who worked there already. And I said, well, you know, to be honest, it paid the most right out of PT school. And I wanted to move to New York. And I said, okay. That experience was life-changing. It was absolutely life-changing. I saw from soup to nuts how from early screening, early intervention, treatment, all the way to palliative care, end-of-life care, how physical therapists play such an integral role in cancer treatment. Mm. And part of that would also be urogynecological care, as well as what happens through lymphoma and non-Hodgkin's disease and what happens to the lymphatic system. So it may not be part of the regular conversation when you think about why is pelvic health and lymphedema, why do they seem so niche? But it's part of the normal conversation when we think about cancer care, right? Mm-hmm. Because people who have radiation or different surgeries within this part of the body, within the pelvis, those parts of the body are then affected when you think about urinary function, rectal function, sexual function. They're all affected by radiation and the mm-hmm. treatments that people go through. And then as a result of lymph nodes being affected through radiation or surgical removal, and the like, I mean, you're going to have issues related to swelling and congestion and immune response, because that's kind of how your body's going to react when you take out these very important pieces.
Right.
So my journey began when I noticed the recurring patterns, and also through mentorship at this hospital. Mm-hmm. I also worked at NYU for several years as well in a similar department, but it was the outpatient, whereas at Sloan, it was all inpatient. So I saw really very ill people. But again, wonderful place to work, and it's, you know, it was literally life-changing. But my journey began when I noticed this recurring pattern of women specifically quietly enduring symptoms that could be addressed with the right guidance and the right care. And this realization, when you see it working around you in a hospital that is dedicated to that care, combined with personal experience, because I have two aunts who were diagnosed with breast cancer. One passed away and the other one is thriving and in her survivorship. And my professional training in oncology and lymphedema therapy, that inspired me to focus on women's health to bridge the gaps in this care.
Mm-hmm. You know, I always find it interesting how oftentimes with physicians and, you know, allied health workers and people who work within the healthcare industry, so many times the inspiration is tied to either a particular patient experience or a family member who you kind of see, and you look at it as like, you know, there's this opportunity to help people like this, especially when it's someone close to you, like you said, or a patient. So I always find that interesting to hear, because, you know, I think when you go into something that's in the area of healthcare and medicine, you know, you have to have a heart for it. You have to have a heart for, you know, the people that you're trying to help. And I think when you have that sort of close connection, it adds to the depth of, you know, like how much you care about what you're getting into. You know, you clearly had these experiences in these different areas. What drove you, and what became the, I guess, the mission behind creating the Viva Physiotherapy and Wellness practice that you have and the work that you're doing there?
Well, after living abroad and working in these incredible hospitals for, you know, for years, I wanted to move home with the birth of my first child, my daughter, Viva.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the doctor's hospital as the head of rehabilitation. And it was very administrative. And it showed me a very different side of hospital work, sort of how can I dedicate this time and how can I still help clients. But I realized shortly after starting that job, so I was only there for 2 years, that I really missed being in the clinical setting, like actually working with patients one-on-one. So that's mm-hmm. when I opened a clinic. And I remember still there was a gap in care. Like there's still a big gap. I'm the only one in the Caribbean doing what I'm doing. Wow. There might be two other, actually. There's one in Barbados. There is, and there might be another one in Jamaica, if I'm not, which I only recently found out. So that's great. But at Viva Physio and Wellness, the mission is to restore dignity and health through accessibility, evidence-based care. And as a Bahamian, I came back to serve Bahamians, right? To come back and work with my people. It's the only private health, pelvic health and oncology rehabilitation clinic offering both in-person and virtual services, although virtual tends to be limited and designed to reduce suffering and improve quality of life. Mm-hmm. That's really what physiotherapists do across the board. There are 8 different subspecialties of physical therapy. Women's health or pelvic health is just one of them. There's wound care and electrophysiology. There's also pediatrics, geriatrics. There's cardiopulmonary, as well as 2 others. So women's health. And then the last 2, of course, would be sports and orthopedics.
Right.
that's what I remember. And oncology as well. So that's 8 different subspecialties. Wow. So you become a physical therapist first. And the tertiary level degree is a doctorate now in the U.S., and then you decide to subspecialize into one of those categories.
Wow, I never knew there were so many subspecialty areas. That's a lot. It is interesting to hear, though, considering I imagine there are a number of people who, given our cancer rates and a lot of the other reproductive issues that we see increasing, amongst our people, it's surprising that there aren't more people trying to get into this particular area in order to help more women in the way that you are, you know. But it is good to see that at least in the region there is an expansion of people kind of starting to filter into that space. Like you mentioned, there being one in Barbados and one in Jamaica as well. So let's get into a little bit more of the educational space, you know. You know, people will sometimes hear pelvic floor and they not quite understand what that means. They don't know, you know, what that looks like, what that means to them or what they should be looking out for. So what are some of the most common pelvic floor issues that women experience and how do these conditions typically impact quality of life if left untreated? Because I know that was one of the things you mentioned was, you know, a part of your role is to help people improve their quality of life. When they've gone through any number of things that may lead them into your office in the first place.
Right. So common pelvic floor issues for women specifically, because remember both men and women have right. pelvic floor. Yes. Common issues include, of course, urinary incontinence. So that's urinary leakage. That could be stress urinary incontinence, whereas if you cough, laugh, sneeze, jump, that's when you notice the leakage. Or you could have urge incontinence in that whenever you feel the urge to go to the bathroom, you already start to leak. So you don't have very much time to get to the bathroom. Or you could have mixed incontinence where you have both the stress and urge incontinence happening at the same time. Then there's pelvic organ prolapse, which is where you can have the bladder, the urethra, or the rectum in a position where it's lowering and it's on its way down, which many people can feel that pelvic heaviness, or they can feel as if something is in that area when they start to do something functional like running or lifting or carrying an object, and they realize, something feels like it's getting lower. It's in that genital space. You're like, there shouldn't be anything in there. There's also fecal incontinence, where you just lose control. Again, partially either because of surgery or because of treatment or because of medication or because of autoimmune issues or GI issues, right? Lots of reasons to have fecal incontinence. And then, of course, chronic pelvic pain. Pain that lasts for more than 3 months, more than 6 months. And you may have gone through a lot of other testing to make sure there's nothing sinister, but then you come to a point now where, well, it's not this and it's not that, but I'm still having these pain issues. They may be cyclical or it might be constant, it may be intermittent. It may be only when you engage in penetrative activity, or it may be happening every time you use the restroom. So chronic pelvic pain can be, of course, debilitating. And if left untreated, these conditions often result in social isolation. People start to not believe you anymore when you have pain all the time. You're like, oh, don't go next to her. She's going to complain about XYZ. You have decreased work productivity, right? If you're not feeling great, you're not going to want to do the job that makes you feel productive, and you're not going to engage in society as you normally would. And of course, that diminishes your mental health when you feel less purposeful.
Yeah, that's a lot that comes out of having the issue. You know, I feel like, especially when we talk about our parents and our grandparents' generation, a lot of those women kind of take the assumption that, you know, pelvic pain or incontinence are like just this normal part of life, you know, after they've had, you know, 2, 3, 4 kids, or just as they get older. You know, why is it important to challenge that mindset?
Well, the belief that issues like bladder leakage or pain are just part of being a woman, it really undermines preventative care. It undermines what people are really going through. And to say that something is common doesn't mean that it's normal. And I say that a lot to patients. You can have things that are common. Low back pain is common, but it's not normal to have low back pain, right? And not everything can be explained through aging. There are lots of really healthy, functional, athletic 90-year-olds out there, maybe in different countries or in those blue zones that we hear about, but they're out there. How is it that we can change our mindset about how we do and live every day here so that it becomes normal for you to feel really great at 65, right? We need to shift from accepting dysfunction to promoting empowerment through early intervention and education.
Okay. You know, you talked about, I think, what many people would understand is kind of the typical symptoms or issues that come along with pelvic floor dysfunction. But what are some of the, I guess, the more lesser known symptoms or things that people wouldn't necessarily connect to say, hey, this is connected to, you know, I'm having issues with my pelvic floor?
Right. So low back pain is one of those things.
Interesting.
When you think about low back pain and the core and how when you lose your abdominal support, for example, after cesarean surgery, giving birth, also with obesity or with an injury or with a fall, when you have lower back pain, it doesn't just affect the back. It affects the pelvis. It affects how your pelvis articulates with the hip joint and how the femur then relates to your knee and your ankle. So all of that could be part of how your body is holding itself together. Your pelvic floor is a postural support system, right? So low back pain, hip pain, constipation, pain with intercourse, feeling pelvic heaviness can all point to pelvic floor dysfunction. They're often misdiagnosed or ignored, depending on your doctor or your healthcare system, depending on who you're talking to. Maybe you don't feel comfortable enough even bringing it up. Mm-hmm. Right. So without proper assessment and screening, it's difficult to diagnose these or to allow the healthcare practitioner to even look deeper into some of those symptoms. But the first part is just to be able to talk about it.
Wow. I wouldn't have assumed lower back pain. but I guess that's the thing, right? It's why conversations like these are important. Because if someone's sitting down and they hear, well, hold on, I can tick off every box that she just mentioned, maybe this is the issue that I'm having. And it kind of opens that door for exploration to say, well, let me go and look into this and see if this is indeed, you know, what's going on with my body. You mentioned preventative care, and that is something, you know, especially on this podcast that we are firm believers in, firm proponents of, supporters of, is prevention. You know, in your experience, because you mentioned this earlier when you were talking about just even getting into it, you know, how does pelvic health physiotherapy play a role in preventing future health complications? How does it operate as a preventative measure?
So physiotherapists, first, we identify imbalance. We identify muscle function or dysfunction. We identify asymmetry. Mm-hmm. So physical therapy itself, specifically as a profession, we look at and identify muscle imbalance. We educate patients early. We promote wellness. We understand the whole body as a system, right? So a preventative approach decreases healthcare costs and improves quality of life across the lifespan. That's really what it does. And physical therapists, physiotherapists are like, we're the mainstream prevention profession. Mm-hmm. We can see things before they happen. We study gait. We do gait analysis. We look at how your body moves and we can almost predict what's going to happen next, right? Mm-hmm. Someone with an antalgic gait, a painful walk, that's going to tell us how your knee and your hip and your lower back are connected. Someone with tennis elbow may have also issues with their shoulder and their neck, not just their forearm, right? We can identify what's going on. And when we look closer into pelvic health and we notice patients with an unstable pelvis, quote unquote unstable pelvis, we notice scoliosis. We notice how there's some deviation in how they're holding their posture, that also how they're breathing. The way you breathe also affects how you're able to maintain and build force. Force production is all about breath control, pelvic floor control, abdominal control, and lower back stability. So there are different components that come together to create function, and that's the role of physical therapy as well as in prevention, preventative care.
You know, it's interesting. I always tell people I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV. But, you know, I've been having conversations with physicians and healthcare providers for a number of years now, you know, and I never thought of physiotherapy from a preventative standpoint. I've always viewed it as like a treatment modality, as a reactionary tool. So, you know, you've had surgery and you need to do rehab, or, you know, you've had an accident and something just doesn't work right and you need to do like physical therapy or occupational therapy. I've always kind of thought of it from that perspective, but it's interesting to hear, you know, as you explain it and the role it plays in the prevention side of things as well. Because I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I've never actually viewed it that way. I've always viewed it as something that was, you know, like I said, more reactionary than preventative. So it's cool to hear that it does sit in that prevention space.
100%. And there's research to promote and support prehabilitation, where someone needs surgery, you send them into rehab before surgery so they can have even better outcomes, right? If you teach someone how to cough before they have, for example, open heart surgery, you teach them how to splint and how to cough properly to have an effective cough. When they then have their surgery, they're not surprised by what you're telling them. They already know all the components and are able to protect their incision and be able to expectorate or create expectorate appropriately without creating injury. So prehabilitation before any surgery, knee replacement, ankle surgery, when you teach people what they should be expecting before, their outcomes are much better after. So we support what's going on, and we also educate people, because when people can make informed decisions, then they make better decisions.
That makes sense. And I've heard of prehab, but I guess my brain didn't quite connect it the same way. But it is that. That's exactly what it is, which, you know, kind of leads into my next question, right? You know, when then is the ideal for a woman to seek pelvic health support? Like, is it during pregnancy? Is it postpartum? Is it menopause? Is it earlier? Like, how do you know when it's time to say, I need help in this area?
So support can start early. And I know we've been talking a lot about women, adult women, but from adolescence through menopause, milestones like pregnancy, postpartum, perimenopause are all key points, but earlier is always better. And what we teach our young women is so important about their bodies, understanding that we were meant to be able to deliver, that our bodies can handle delivery. And yes, you do need to communicate with your healthcare provider, but not to be afraid, right? Not to be afraid about the process of giving birth. Fear is such a huge factor when it comes to pregnancy and delivery. We're so afraid to move, so afraid to trust our bodies again. That sort of empowerment comes through the village, talking to the women. But we've lost a lot of that village, the village support, quote unquote. And, you know, support can start early. Also, some of the habits that we have as adults trickle down to our kids. Are you someone who takes the phone into the bathroom for bowel movement? Are you someone who spends 20 minutes sitting, right? Are you someone who rushes into the bathroom? Or are you someone who hovers over the toilet because all public bathrooms are gross? All of these habits have repercussions. And like I remember growing up on the TV station, I forget, I know you're going to tell me who sits, but every action
has an equal and opposite reaction.
So when you teach your child to rush in the bathroom, that means they're not properly relaxing their muscles. They're not properly emptying. They feel anxiety when they go. They have this stress level associated with using the toilet. That carries on with them as they become young adults and older adults and what they teach their children. Constipation as well. When you push and you strain, you're creating issues related to muscle imbalance, which then creates more issues like prolapse. So you have men who can have issues like prolapse, rectal prolapse, because they're constantly straining because they don't have a diet that is based in healthy fruits and vegetables or a colorful plate of food, right? Or people who just don't drink water anymore because they don't want to go to the bathroom. But now you've created a very toxic environment in your bladder where it's so concentrated that every time you drink anything, your bladder is spasming and it's like ready to burst. Whereas if you just drink plain water, you could solve a lot of those issues just in the beginning. So these are things that we have to support and start early and communicate with our children and demonstrate through behavior, right? And open the conversation about what's considered healthy.
Yeah. You know, when you said that, it reminds me, my wife always tells me, you know, when it comes to like things like that, it's this concept of use it or lose it, right? So it's like, if you're not exercising, you lose muscle. If you're not doing different things, then you lose the ability to. And so it's the same way with this. If you're not using your bladder properly, then it forgets how to function, right? Because you're not using it the way that it should be used. So it very much sits in that same space. I think it's Bill Nye the Science Guy was probably the for every reaction is equal and opposite reaction, because that definitely feels like what was the science show of our youth.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill, Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-321-145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
Okay, so, you know, let's look at treatment approaches and outcomes, because obviously, you know, we've talked about it from the preventative side. Let's look at it from the after, you know, the after effects. So when it's used as a treatment methodology, what does a typical evaluation or treatment session look like for a new patient at your practice?
Yes, good question. Fear always comes in first. What are you going to do? What am I doing? Okay, so the initial assessment is always thorough and trauma-informed, right? So knowing that we're dealing with a very specific part of the body, we examine posture, pelvic health, physiotherapists examine breathing, pelvic floor function, and discover or discuss lifestyle factors. So treatment can include manual therapy, exercise, education. And it can be an external or an internal evaluation of the pelvic floor muscles, depending on what the patient is comfortable with mm-hmm. and how much more to explore. But it is a very thorough assessment, and they're usually 60 to 90 minutes.
Oh, that's a decent amount of time. I imagine that every patient is different based on just who the patient is, their own personal history, as well as what this specific area of issue or dysfunction may be. How do you tailor treatment plans to meet the unique needs of patients across different life stages? Because you mentioned, you know, you're talking about having like education with young adults, but then also dealing with, you know, women who are postpartum, perimenopausal, menopausal. So how do you tailor to meet those specific needs? Because you're talking about a very broad range of patients.
It's a very broad range. So treatment is customized. It's based on that initial evaluation. So your plan of care is based on that thorough assessment and that discussion that we have. So it's based on life stage, your functional goals. Maybe your goal is just to get back into walking again. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's to be able to go out with your group of friends and have lunch without having an accident. Maybe it is return to running. Maybe it is, you know, skydiving, whatever your functional goal is, right? As well as your medical history. And some patients are excellent historians, and some patients are terrible historians. They literally don't know what surgery they had last week, right? So some people really don't know. And so part of that is evaluating, getting as much information you can from that first visit, and then creating a plan of care. So for example, a new mom might need core training or retraining, while a postmenopausal patient may need more support with prolapse management.
Mm-hmm. I love when you say, you know, what kind of function they're looking to getting back to. Because I think that's a part of, because it's like, what is the patient's expectations and goals, and how do we best meet them? So if there's a particular area function that they're looking to get back to, then you know kind of what you're striving for as you go through creating this plan to meet their specific needs, which is good to hear. It's not just this one cap fits all. We're trying to get everybody back to the same point. It's like, no, where are we trying to get you specifically based on, you know, what you're capable of achieving, what you want to achieve, what your expectations and goals are. And that's really good to hear. You know,
yeah, and that may also be accessing resources that they may not know about.
Mm-hmm.
So equipment or, you know, different specialized care or a different route of care. Because like you said, not everyone fits in the same box, right? So you have to be able, if we can't address your concerns in the time you want it addressed, how else can we help you or connect you with the resources that will get you what you need or what you want?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing, is that it's a communication, and it's a constant sort of discussion about how can we get you there.
Right. Awesome. So, you know, can you share with our audience a success story that illustrates the impact that the work that you do, you know, pelvic health physiotherapy, the impact that it can have on a patient?
I mean, yes. So let's take a different perspective. I had one of my first patients when I opened the clinic was a male in his 20s, and he had chronic pelvic pain, but he had been misdiagnosed as having bacterial prostatitis
mm-hmm.
for many months. He'd gone to lots of different doctors. He'd been on cycles of antibiotics, and he finally got to a doctor who said, this sounds like it might be chronic pelvic pain, but I'm not quite sure. And then he kind of got on the internet and found me, right? And so we asked his doctor to refer him to pelvic health physical therapy. He'd gone through all the urinalysis. He'd done a post-void residual. He'd done all of the STD testing. He'd done all the testing. So there was nothing else going on with him. And yes, he had classic symptoms related to tension myalgia, or what we call hypertonic pelvic floor disorder, which is non-bacterial prostatitis, where you can have issues related to difficulty emptying, pain with sex. You can also have difficulty with erections. You can have pain, constant pain at a low level or a high level when you have to have a bowel movement. Like, he was having all of these issues, but he'd gone all over the place and not had received any sort of relief. And so when he came to me, I saw him for about 8 sessions, and you know, he felt so much relief with regards to just knowing that somebody understood what was going on with him. And then he also was able to receive care. His pain was reduced. He was going back into running and exercising, going back to the gym. He started dating again. Like, this is someone who really felt like they withdrew from society and just didn't feel understood. So that's one success story when we think, how does pelvic health help? But there's also sort of more traditional, when we think about 58-year-old women and older mm-hmm. with urgency incontinence who just stopped traveling. She just couldn't tolerate traveling. You know, you got to get to the airport, wait 3 hours, go to the bathroom if there is one that's close by that's clean enough. You got to sit on a plane. Maybe you're afraid to walk on the plane because, you know, the plane is turbulence. But then you got to carry your luggage. All of that creates so much anxiety that she just stopped traveling. She goes, I just don't want to travel anymore. So after 3 months of pelvic health therapy and behavior modification, she had to, again, learn how to just drink water, learn how to use her muscles again, build up the confidence to suppress the urge and trust her body again. Because sometimes you have to allow your body to understand how to communicate between the pelvic floor and the bladder. The modifications she made, as well as the strength gains she made, she was able to regain confidence and quality of life. And then she was able to go on a church trip with her friends in the States. Wow. So, you know, it builds community.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing here is building mobility. Yes, we're building dignity, but we're also building people's lives again that allow them the confidence to do what they want to do, not what they have to do
mm-hmm.
because of what's going on with them.
Yeah. Yeah. The 20-year-old male, that's definitely not what I expected when I asked about a success story. But, you know, even like you said, things like being able to travel again, I think sometimes, you know, if you're someone who has never had that experience and you're kind of on the outside looking in, you might not necessarily think about how far that would affect someone. Because yes, the process of traveling, if you live in the East and you have to drive to the airport and you have incontinence and your flight is like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're in the middle of hot traffic trying to get out of it. That's a long drive. You know what I mean? And so when you think about all of the components of that, waiting through security, checking in, and your concern at every turn is, am I going to make it to the next station in line without having to stop and use the restroom or without having something go catastrophically wrong? And that does very much impact your quality of life, because if you're someone who loves to travel, that literally feels like someone is taking a major part of your life away if you're not able to do it. So being able to help someone kind of regain that shows the value and how important it is to have people operating in this space, because you're genuinely giving people their life back.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't believe how many people know exactly how many bathroom stops they can take between Carmichael and Saunders Beach. Like, people know exactly which bathrooms they will tolerate going into. Like, it becomes so nuanced because it's such an integral part of their everyday life. Like, which bathroom can they go to that they feel safe?
Right.
It's clean. They can sit down. Like, people plan just to go from east to west or south to north. They plan like nobody's business.
See,
you know,
I know that as a parent. I don't know that for my personal self, but I know that as a parent. But I can understand, like, that's intense. Because obviously when you have kids, you have to know where, like, okay, you know, especially when you have a daughter, it's like, you're not going to necessarily take them into any and every bathroom. It's like, you have a boy, side of the road is, you know, quite feasible. But it is interesting to kind of hear that, because, like I said, it's giving people the opportunity to get their life back in ways that you might not quite understand, but it's interesting. You know, all of the stops between, you know, from here to there, whatever's on your regular route, that's pretty intense. You know, I think this is still an area that suffers a little bit from stigma. You know, why do you think that is? Like, why do you think that that's still an area, like pelvic health challenges, that are stigmatized even in today's world where there's so much more information, there's so much more access, and obviously there are people like you who are able to help, but there still seems to be this negativity that surrounds, or this you know, shame that surrounds things like this.
Shame is such a big word, and the taboo around female anatomy and societal expectations and how we see women, women's rights, like, just lots of that contribute to silence and shame, right? So stigma delays diagnosis, stigma delays treatment, and stigma worsens outcomes, right? I was talking to another patient because of their relationship, I recommended that they seek counseling with a sex therapist. Mm-hmm. And there's a sex therapist who I usually recommend, who is not within the community, just outside of the community, because they felt like their personal life, they didn't want to share with anyone local. So I offered that resource to them because just the questions they had about their relationship and intimacy and that sort of thing, just having those conversations, because we live on such a small island, and Nassau and the Bahamas is a very small community, in that everybody knows everyone within 2 or 3 degrees of separation. So having anonymity and having privacy is so important, and it's the utmost importance to people, because people still feel a lot of shame about what their bodies are going through and what they should be able to talk about, or what they like, what they don't like, what's considered normal, what's not normal, quote unquote. So the stigma, just being able to talk about sexual health, intimacy, orgasm, not being able to orgasm, pain with orgasm. People don't even say the word orgasm, right? And in addition to that, how often do we see teenagers just holding hands? How often do we see affection? How often do we see hugging? What do we see in our communities? And what do we feel comfortable talking about? And how can we imitate what we see if we don't see it at all, right? So that taboo around female anatomy and expectations has to do with our society, and how can we start to broach these conversations if we don't start to break down some of those expectations?
Yeah, and I guess get more comfortable talking about it, and hopefully a conversation like ours will help in that vein. You know,
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at top of the hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-32-21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
From your vantage point, you work in the space, you're in the provision of healthcare. How can people like you, families, women themselves, be a part of normalizing conversations around pelvic health and around early intervention?
So I am just one person, but you're just one person. But we want to normalize through education, how we educate, what we educate, and also realizing that bringing in certain background can be really influential in our conversation. So being careful about how we use certain words, how we refer to people, and also what our personal privileges and discriminations are, realizing what those are before we start to educate others or offer help is so important as well. Training healthcare providers in competence to be more competent and sensitive. Also with awareness and incorporating pelvic health in public health campaigns. So that broader conversation has to happen through the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me, we had Dr. Christine Parker Curling on the show a few weeks back. She has a book called Beyond the Knowledge, where she was addressing, like, you know, ways to help physicians operate with more care. And so you're kind of talking in that same space as well of being, you know, more compassionate, more thoughtful about the way you navigate these sorts of conversations. And so it's just interesting that kind of tie in, because we've been having those sorts of conversations as well, to kind of drive that conversation forward as well. So what advice would you offer to someone who is, you know, perhaps listening to this, or, you know, a friend tells them about this conversation and they're experiencing symptoms, but they feel either hesitant or embarrassed or unsure about seeking help? What advice would you give them?
Number one, you are not alone. Remember that the research that the Bahamas government put out in 2019 that they did in collaboration with PAHO, the World Health Organization, about non-communicable diseases in the Bahamas, identified one in every 500 Bahamians as having cancer, right? So if we have that many people who've had cancer, they've had cancer treatment. Right? And cancer treatment means that you'll have different effects of cancer treatment. So the radiation, chemotherapy, the fatigue that goes along with it, the urinary issues, depending on what type of cancer. So you're not alone with that. Secondly, when we think about pelvic floor dysfunction, I think it's 25% of women will have some issue related to pelvic floor dysfunction, right, in their lifetime. In addition to that, you have more than 200,000 surgeries a year in America for prolapse, for pelvic organ prolapse every year. You're not alone, mm-hmm. right? So the numbers are there. People are dealing with their problems in private, but you are not alone. These are medical issues. They are not personal flaws. Help is available, and you deserve to feel like a whole person. That's the advice I would give, because sometimes you're afraid. You don't always have to seek care in person. You can seek virtual care. And that's one of the great outcomes of COVID, if there were any, really, the pandemic, or that really showed us that you can still access resources no matter where you are, as long as the broad bandwidth is enough.
I know, right? As we are currently recording this across the internet. That's awesome. You know what, I know you mentioned that there aren't many of you in the region. You're the only one that's here. Obviously we know that our people are very willing to explore across the waters for healthcare help, but what should women look for when they're choosing a pelvic health physiotherapist?
That's a great question. So let me do one minor correction. I'm the only board certified clinical specialist in pelvic health in the Caribbean.
Okay.
There are other physiotherapists who have taken courses and are treating women with pelvic floor disorders in the Bahamas as well as in the Caribbean, but I'm the only board certified clinical specialist.
Gotcha.
Got that. So when you look for a provider specifically in pelvic health, you want to make sure they have the postgraduate certification, but first they need to be a licensed physiotherapist or physical therapist. Physiotherapy is the same as physical therapy. Physical therapy is what they reference in the US. Physiotherapy seems to be everywhere else. So Australia, the UK, Canada, South America, they all use physiotherapy, but America uses physical therapy. But you're looking for a licensed physical therapist. That means that they got their graduate degree from an accredited university. They sat for their board examination. They have that, and as well as being certified through the local registration. For us in the Bahamas, it's the Health Professions Council. In addition to that, they then have postgraduate certification in pelvic health. So they would have taken so many hours. You can ask for the certificate, or something should be on the wall. There should be trauma informed, right? Because part of that evaluation is also asking very personal questions, which that person needs to be aware that there's someone else on the other side receiving those questions who may have gone through trauma. And so that therapist needs to be trauma informed and inclusive of all genders. I'll say it like that. That's also very important, right? Because if people don't feel safe that they can talk to you, or if they feel as if you have any sort of discrimination, they're not going to open up and tell you really what's wrong. So that's really what you're looking for in a qualified, credentialed pelvic health physical therapist.
Okay. Is there anything that, you know, people can do at home to start becoming more aware of their pelvic health, like things that they can do to kind of test and see if things are working or not working, any exercises, anything like that?
You want me to give away all the secrets? Okay, yeah. Here's what I'm going to do. The first thing is you have to start with diaphragmatic breathing. I know it seems like nothing, but being able to breathe fully with your diaphragm, with your abdomen, with your upper chest, with your ribs, getting your body to move when you breathe is one of the things that helps connect us with our pelvic floor. Pelvic tilting is also one of those things. Being able to move and mobilize your pelvis makes a big difference because it helps you identify this part of your body. A lot of people don't know what their body is doing. They literally just have disconnected from it. Mm-hmm. We're so much more connected to a computer or a digital device, and we don't know what our bodies are actually doing. It's incredible. And then gentle core activation. You don't need to do double leg lifts, but you should know how to engage your core to be able to lift something properly and not hurt your back. There are lots of apps online. There's the LV trainer. There's the Kegel trainer. There's all these different trainers. There are lots of resources through professional associations like the APTA Pelvic Health section or Academy on Pelvic Health that can help. But the main thing is to start understanding what your current function is. Like when you go to the bathroom, do you feel like you take a long time? Do you have to push and hold your breath and strain? Do you feel as if your body's doing something it shouldn't be doing? Or are you drinking enough? Do you eat enough? Do you feel like you have enough nutrition? Pay attention to what your body's doing first. I think that makes a big difference when it comes to tips, because if you can't talk about what your body's doing, it's going to be hard for your healthcare provider to know how to help you as well.
Right. It's how you help yourself to become a better historian, because you kind of know what your baseline is, so to speak.
That's right. What is your baseline?
Yeah. I'll stick a pin there just before we wrap up, because I know it's something that comes up in a lot of our conversations on this show, is how important it is for people to be able to recall what is going on with their body. And it's an important reminder that, you know, things like this will be helpful, because if you can say definitively, well, I know, you know, these are the issues that I have, or this is what is normal right now for me, you know, it helps to kind of give you a better starting point than if you walk into a physician's office or into your office and it's like, well, I don't really know. I don't know how to answer that question. Then you're kind of starting from more of, you know, a lack of knowledge. You kind of have to figure things out a little bit more along the way.
I want to give a little example just very quickly. So I hope my mom doesn't get mad if she watches this. So my mom said, something's wrong with my finger. I said, okay, have you talked to your doctor about it? She's talking to me. She's like, no, you're my doctor. I said, no, wait, I mean, have you talked to, because she goes to a regular doctor. And she said, she goes, I don't go to no doctor. And she does, she does. She said, I don't go to no doctor. I can't stand it when I go to the doctor and they're asking me what's wrong with me. I come here to let them tell me what's wrong with me. Why I gotta tell them? I said, Mom, you have to at least start the conversation and say, what you there for? I don't want to go to no doctor. So, you know, that's a classic. It's classic kind of like, she won't go to the doctor. And I'm always like, well, you know, jot it down. If you notice on the calendar, hey, I noticed this happening on the 1st of January, just write on the calendar. That way, if you do happen to see your doctor that month, you can say, oh, I noticed this and it happened so-and-so weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Like, just keep a mental note or keep a physical note, but whatever, just try and pay attention to what's happening. So mm-hmm. It's not a big deal to bring it up.
Oh, yeah. that's really funny. This has been an awesome conversation. I want to thank you so much. But before we let you go, how can our listeners learn more about, you know, the services that you offer at Viva Physiotherapy and Wellness and get in touch with you if they want to book an appointment, if they need support? How do they get in contact with you?
Yes, I'm on Instagram. I know a lot of us are on Instagram. I'm the Pelvic Floor Lady. So look up Pelvic Floor Lady on Instagram. But you can also visit the website, vivaptwellness.com. That's vivaptwellness.com. Or you can call the office at 802-VIVA.
I love that you're the you said the pelvic lady? The pelvic floor lady?
Yes.
That's a good handle. Kudos. Top notch. All right. Again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on Vital Voices today. This has been an excellent conversation. I think it's going to be very helpful for our listeners, women and men alike. I know I've learned a lot, even just understanding that some of these issues are also applicable to men, which is, you know, news to me. But it is, I imagine, going to be very helpful for our listeners. So thank you very much for your time today.
Yes, Mr. Burrows, what a pleasure meeting you. And it's been awesome having this conversation. I love talking about what I do, so I'm glad to have a platform to do it. And I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing, because, you know, educating people and creating a space that is, you know, open and relaxed allows so much more to happen rather than how we live our lives every day. It connects us, it builds community, and it builds more questions, which is what we all need.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to this powerful episode of Vital Voices. We hope today's conversation with Dr. Devanya Bonamy Lee opened your eyes to the critical role pelvic health physiotherapy plays in women's wellness and reminded you that symptoms like pain, leakage, or discomfort are common but not normal, and most importantly, treatable. If you'd like to learn more about the services offered at Viva Physiotherapy and Wellness, visit vivaptwellness.com or follow them on social media to stay connected. Be sure to subscribe to Vital Voices on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform and share this episode with a friend. Because when we talk openly about women's health, we help remove the shame and restore the power. Until next time, stay well, speak up, and keep listening for the voices that matter.
Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@vitalvoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.
We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Oaktree Medical Center and King Group of Companies, including Cool Runnings Ice, Color Me Agency, and Retro Games 242.